from the bottom of Chaf Chesem and Beis, the very last line. The Gemara has been discussing Kavana, Mitzvah Tzichas Kavana, Mitzvah Inet Tzichas Kavana. So the very last line along the same topic, Amar Le Reb Zeri says, L'shmaya, he says to his aide, his attendant, Echavein V'takali, have Kavana, and blow the shofar, he says to his Shamish, blow the shofar, for me, bimotzi me, my obligation of hearing shofar. Alma kasaver mashmiya ba'i kavana. So we see from here the mashmiya, the one who's blowing, also requires kavana. Not only the person being yotze, but the motzi as well requires kavana. Now, this truth is really brought down the halacha. The Mishnah Berurah writes, when it comes to kiddush, for example, Friday night, someone makes kiddush and you are being motzi everybody at the table, it is really ideal to articulate that I am being motzi everybody here, so you're just aware. You don't really have to, but the Mishnah Berurah says it's advisable to make it aware that you're being motzi everybody and everyone else has kavana to be yotze. So the Gemara asks, Meisive, haya over achare beis haknesses, a person's passing the back of the shul, o shaya beis ha-samach le-beis haknesses, or his house is adjacent to the shul. And vishama kol shofar, here's the shofar blowing, o kol megillah, or here's the person laying megillah, im kivin libo yatza vim lav lo yatza. So, if the person listening has kavana piyotze, he gets the mitzvah of shofar, or he gets the mitzvah of megillah. But if he doesn't, so he's not yotze. But we see from here, v'chi chivan libo, when the guy, when I, the neighbor, have kavana, I'm yotze. Why does that work? My havi heyach lo kom mechavin adai tedi day. The guy laning the megillah, the guy blowing the shofar, has no clue that I'm in shul. He says, everybody here has kavana. But he doesn't think of the guy who next door, who overhears the megillah, who overhears the shofar. So we see from this brisa that it depends on the guy listening, not depending on the guy who's being mashmir. So that's the kasha against Rabbi Zera. So the Gemara says, "Hacha b'shleach tzibur askinan d'daita akulu alma." Talking about shleach tzibur, he says, "I have everybody in mind. Anybody wants is yotze. So I don't know who's in the room, who's next door, who's not. Anybody wants, I'm saying the shofar, I'm blowing the shofar, I'm reciting the megillah. Whoever wants is going to be yotze."
That's why it's probably b'taknesed and not a private house.
Right, if it's a person in a private house who doesn't have in mind, right? Yeah, exactly. So Shneach Sibor, he's Daita Dide on everybody. So therefore, anybody who wants is going to be Yotze. So we still see that the Mashmiya does require Kavana. It doesn't have to be Kavana. I need a Kavana for Adam. And no, Kavana for anybody is enough. Tashma, Niskavin Shomea Velo Niskavin Mashmiya. Let's say I'm listening, I have Kavana, but the guy blowing the shofar does not have Kavana. What's the din? Or Niskavin Mashmir Velo Niskavin Shemeya, or the guy Mashmir has Kavana, but I'm walking by the shul, I don't really have Kavana. I hear it, but I'm not having, I'm not really paying attention that I'm going to be Yotze. Then the halacha is Lo Yotze. You're not Yotze Ad Shiskavin Shemeya U Mashmir. You need both. Okay, that's the brisa. So the Gemara is Medayik. Ketani Mashma Dumya De Shemeya. Mashma and Shemeya must be the same situation. The guy hearing and the guy blowing the shofar must be the same situation, meaning Mashumeya Shumeya Le'atzmo Af Mashmiya Mashmiya Le'atzmo. Are we not talking about a case where the guy listens to himself? I'm listening on my own. To myself, I listen. And the guy Mashmiya is being Mashmiya to himself. He's not being Mashmiya to anybody who hears. He's being Mashmiya to himself. And once he's being Mashmiya to himself, even though he doesn't have Kavana for anybody else, you're still going to be Yotze. So he's learning from this brisa that you do not need kavana, that Mashmir does not need kavana for everybody. He just needs kavana at least for himself. So that's the kasha of the Gemara. The Gemara says,
I don't understand.
Let's see.
What's the deal? I don't understand.
The deal is the fact that we're lumping. Right, we're lumping together, we're grouping together Shemeya and Mashmiya.
Okay.
So the fact of grouping them together, the Gemara thinks it must be talking about the same situation. So that they have to be the same scenario, that the Shemeya guy, is one who's listening for himself, for me to be Yotze, for me personally to be Yotze. I can't be Shemeya for anybody else, just for myself. So it must be the Mashmiya, which is coupled together, also must be a case where he's being Mashmiya for himself, not for anybody else, just himself. So now that being the case,
this is a question on the brisa.
Well, the Gemara hasn't brought the question just yet. We're just analyzing the brisa.
Okay.
So once we say that, so the Gemara says, yet a person's lo yotza, the shemeh is not yotze, if the mashmiya alone. Let's see. Hold on a second.
Okay. now, because I think it's understanding it kaven, meaning not to be more to anybody else. Actually, it kaven to do the mitzvah itself. Is that what it's saying?
And I think it's saying again. We're trying to bring a question to Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira said that the mashmia had to have kavana for the particular shomer guy. Now we're learning from this case here that the only situation where it's not yotze is if the shomer guy doesn't have any kavana. I'm being mashmia. We're defining mashmia is I'm being mashmia for myself. Why? Because shomer means I'm hearing for myself. So mashmia must be also a situation where I'm being mashmia for myself. Now the only situation where you're not yotze in this brisa is if I'm mashmir for myself and David doesn't have any kavana. But let's say David did have kavana. Right. He would still be yotze, even though I don't have kavana for him. I'm mashmir for myself, you're shomer for yourself, and you're going to be yotze.
As long as you have kavana for yourself, then you should be yotze. That's what it's saying.
Right, exactly. I mean, say it again. That
as long as you have kavana for yourself and you're trying to...
And he has kavana for himself.
For yourself, then that should be okay.
Right, but Reb Zeir says I have to have mashmir and needs kavana for David also.
Right.
So that's the kasha according to Rabbi Zeira. So answers the Gemara Tanai. It's really machlokas Tanaim whether the mashmiya requires this kavana for the shemeya or not. What's the Tanai? The Tanai, the Braisa teaches us shemeya shemei le'atzmo u'mashmiya lefidarko. So the person hears, he listens to himself. I can't listen for anybody else other than myself. And mashmiya just is mashmiya lefidarko, just regularly doesn't seem to require any kavana. Just be mashmiya. No kavana necessary. Comes along Amar Rabbi Yossi b'met v'mamurim b'shliach tzibur. That's for shliach tzibur who has the stam das that anybody who listens is going to be there. That Rabbi Yossi says you actually do require kavana. But shliach tzibur, l'fi darko for the shliach tzibur means I'm being mashmir for everybody who's here. Aval says Rabbi Yossi, yachid lo yatsa ad shis kavin shemeo mashmir. If I'm in the privacy of my own home, I'm laying in Megillah, or I'm blowing the shofar, then I have to have specific kavana for the person who's being shemeah. As opposed to the Tanakhama says, no, the mashmiya could simply recite the Megillah in his home, blow the shofar. If anybody who walks by happens to listen, he's actually going to be yotze. So this machlokas tanaim again, whether or not the mashmiya requires kavana or not.
What's the halakha? What do we hold?
I believe we follow that based on this halakha, the Eimishpat. It sounds like that Shliach Tzibur has das for everybody. You have to have mashmiya, has to have kavana.
But the shemeya does on mitzvah and has kavana, we hold, right?
The shemeya has to have kavana that he's being yotze a mitzvah. He can't just be sitting down in his room and just not doing anything. He has to be aware that he's being yotze a mitzvah.
He has to be aware that he's hearing the shofar.
Hearing the shofar, right, exactly.
But he doesn't have to be aware that he's...
So that's a big discussion, the Raitzis versus the Rabbanon. This is a big discussion. Shulchan Aruch brings down two opinions, how he paskin, and Mishi Brewer says it depends on the Raitzis versus the Rabbanon. Okay. New Mishnah, very interesting Mishnah, a well-known Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Hayakasheh Yarim Moshe Yadav V'Gavar Yisrael. Talking about the Mechemes Amalek, Klal Yisrael fighting Amalek, and Moshe is lifting his hands up, and they begin winning the war when Moshe's hands are up, and when Moshe gets weak, his hands begin to go lower down, so then Klal Yisrael begins losing the battle. So it says the Mishnah, V'chi Yadav Shel Moshe Osos Milchama O Shovros Milchama. Moshe's hands lifting up, Moshe's hands wins the battle, and when his hands go down, that's going to have them lose the battle? Of course not. Ella lomar l'cha, this comes to teach us, kol zman shehayu Yisrael mistaklin klapei mala, u'mishabdin esku libam l'avim shemayim. When the hands are up, so Klal Yisrael is remembered, oh, let's look above, let's look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they begin, once they place their hearts with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Haimit Niskabrim, they would win Vimlav, and when they weren't paying attention, Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were not focused on top, pointing upwards. How you know from their and moon of the bitachon, their awareness was weakened. Rabbi Bag was telling me he gave a shir over Shavuos about the various segulas and whatnot, whether segulas are permitted, whether not permitted.
And what did he say?
So you went to it?
No,
you were his best. Yeah.
Oh. Because Rabbi Weinberger gave a shir on, even they gave a shir on.
Non-halachic topics.
Right. If there's psak halach on halachic topics, he mentioned that the Bata Tanya at the beginning, he was very opposed to people coming to ask him questions about private business matters, stuff like that. Uh-huh. What he would only want to answer about
halacha. Interesting.
At the end, he changed. But,
So he says, one of the ideas of permitting some of the segulas, whether it's a shlisachala or opening up the arm for the ninth month and all the types of things, the Chai Adam has this whole discussion in the end of and horios and creases that comes up about simanim on Rosh Hashanah. We have a carrot, we have a fish head, very strange things. But the Gemara says it's such a concept, the simanim milsahi, that they're symbolic. What's the symbolism? So it says the Chai Adam, when a person has a certain das and kavanah to shemayim, he just concretizes it by putting it into some action. So yes, it's all about tefillah and your lev and where you are, but sometimes it makes things a little bit more real when you put something to it. Now, not, doesn't mean the egg hazav, like that also, oh, let's make a golden calf. Not, that's, you have to know when it's right, when it's not right. But we want to be the rosh for the zanav, so you have the head of a sheep or the head of a fish, those types of things. So here too also, it was all about the lev, but sometimes certain things we do help us direct our lev to the Shemaim. So that's the idea, I think, in this Mishnah. So then the Mishnah says there's another example like this as well. Kiyotzi bedabar. Similarly, im ata omer aseh lecha sraf v'sim osa al neis v'ya kol nashach v'ra aso v'chai. It's talking about when Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell Aaron to place the snake on top of the staff and walk around anybody who got who was sick from the magefa that went into the Am Yisrael, looked at it, and then they became healed. So the Gemara says it doesn't make any sense. The Mishnah v'chi, nachash memis or nachash m'chayeh. The snake is what kills, the snake is what brings life. That's certainly not true. Ela b'zman sheyisrael mistaklim klapei mala, u'mishavden es libam levavim shebashamayim. When they looked up, reminding them of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then their hearts were in the right place, so then it helped them, hayim l'shrapim. It became healed, vimlav, if their minds were not in the proper place, then hayim numukim, then they became, their hearts melted and became weak, and then they became sicker. Okay. It died, right? So the couple things here. The Miri wants to first of all know, what in the world is this Mishnah doing here? In this parak, where did this come from? That Moshe Rabbeinu raising his hands. So he says the idea, the common denominator is kavana. Previously, we were talking about kavana. This also in the world of kavana. That's why Miri suggests that it's here. Marsha asks an interesting question: how is Moshe Rabbeinu able to stand on top of the mountain and daven? The Lach of the Gemara Brachos tells us Daf Yud that you're supposed to be lower down, mimama kim krisicha, from the depths. You're supposed to call out.
But Hashem told him to call. Didn't Hashem say?
Good point. So I guess the question is, how is Hashem? Hashem does whatever he wants, but how do we Horas understand Hashem. That? What?
There's a Horas Hashem.
Right, yeah, it could be. And the answer is simple. He simply says, because he wanted to be in a situation where Klal Yisrael could see him. If he's down in the valley, no one would be able to see him. When you're top of the mountain, you're out there. I think in Or HaChaim, you might know this, or in Or HaChaim, they had in the Sheikh Sibur Davin, there's a little dip in the front of the base measures. Okay.
So when I was in Venice, there were a couple of shuls there where they put the shlech tzibor very high on daf to be on top, like by an elevated bima. I don't know why. I mean, it was the tour guide didn't give us a halachic
explanation. Because they have the on both corners they have the one. The Arna Kodesh is all the way at one end, and the chazan is all the way in the other end. Yeah.
I mean, also a lot of the Sephardi shuls, a lot have them.
There's only two old shuls in Venice, I think, and probably saw the real old one.
Yeah, they only let you see a couple of them.
Yeah,
I think they said that there were like five or a couple of Sephardi shuls.
Right, but the ones that people go and visit there.
Active shuls.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Friday night on Shabbat. So there's no air conditioning. You go in the summer, you die. Somebody fainted. Somebody took somebody to the hospital.
Really?
It was like 85, and he was inside. He was
wow. There was the NBA game in the AT&T Center in San Antonio. The AC didn't work. It was 95 degrees.
Wow.
And LeBron James like fainted.
Oh, wow.
By the way, air conditioning.
Okay. Says the Mishnah, Cheresh Shotev Akatan Ein Motzi Nesher Rab Midei Chavasan. They are not able to be motzi others. Someone who's deaf, someone who is shota, not fully there, may not be motzi others their obligations. Zeklal, the following is the rule: Kol she'enu mechui b'davar enu motzi es rabim yidei chavasan. Anybody who themselves are not chayiv, like chayiv shota v'katan, may not themselves be motzi others the obligation. A katan cannot be motzi any of us here our obligation for any mitzvah. Okay, this seems a little bit out of place in this Mishnah. Okay. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanim, Hakol Chayavim B'Tkiyas Shofar, everybody is obligated in listening to the shofar, which includes Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Geirim, Avadim, Meshucharim, Freed Eved, Atumtum, Vandrogonus, Mishachetze, Eved Chetze Ben Chorin, half Eved, half half free person. Tumtum eino motzi las amino.
How come he doesn't address Moshe thing? Moshe's story with Amalek.
I guess it was self-explanatory. I guess they thought it was understandable.
Surely the Gemara address the Mishnah with order, no?
If there are questions and things that need to be elaborated on, but if it's they thought it was clear, then they don't necessarily do it.
First time I see that.
Tumt what?
First time I see
something. Yeah. Tumtum ain't a motzi las mino, v'lash ain't a mino tumtun. So he cannot, or she cannot, that's the question. This person may not be motzi another tumtum, and may not be motzi someone who's not a tumtum. Androgynous motzi as mino, but androgynous can be motzi a similar person to himself, another androgynous. Aval v'lash ain't a mino, but cannot be motzi someone who's not an androgynous. Misha chetzi avid v'chetzi ben chorin, someone's half avid, half free. Eina motzi las mino v'lo eshein amino, cannot be motzi another person who's half-half, nor can he be motzi somebody who's fully free or fully in evet. That's what the Brisa says. So that analyzes the Gemara of the Brisa. Amar mar. Hakol chayavim b'tikia shofar, everyone's chayv, which includes, again, kohanim levim v'yisraelim. Pshita. Ihani lo mechayva man mechayva. Of course, if kohanim Yisrael levim v'yisraelim are not chayv, then who in the world is chayv? That encompasses all Jews. So just say everyone's chayiv. Why specify Kohanim, Levim, v'Yisraelim? Says the Gemara, Kohanim itzrichla. You need to teach me Kohanim. You're right, Levim, Yisraelim, that's obvious. They're certainly chayiv. Why specify Kohanim? Because Asaga Daita Chamina, I would have thought, hold the ksiv Yom Chua Yelachem, that Rosh Hashanah should be a day of Chua. This is the only day of the year that you blow the shofar. So one would think, Man de lesa ella bitkias de chad yoma hu de mechayv. A person who's only obligated in hearing the shofar just once a year, only such a person is going to be chayv in that shofar. However, honey kohanim hol v'isnayu bitkias de chol hashana, that kohanim are obligated in hearing the shofar every single day of the year, Rosh Hashanah is not unique to them in terms of the shofar. Dichsiv usukatem b'chatzotos al olosechem, that every single day of the year, the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash would blow the chatzotos on the olos, on the tamidim that were brought. Emelo, I would think, lo l'chayv, they shouldn't be chayv. Because again, it says, Yom Chua l'chayv, the day of Chua. It's not a day of Chua for the Kohanim. Every single day is a Chua. Which day is it? They are. But they don't have to listen to the shofar, the special shofar of Rosh Hashanah. In terms of the tamidim, whatever accompanies the karbanos, that they would have to listen to. But it's only talking about chatzotos, not even talking about shofars. They hear a sound all year long, a chatzotos. But so therefore, may they should be exempt from the shofar Rosh Hashanah. Kamashman, that Kohanim are also obligated in listening to the shofar. Okay. So then the Gemara says further, Mi dami hasim chatzotos v'hacha shofar. How could you compare the two? We're talking about shofar. For the Kohanim, shofar is only once a year, also for them. Yom Chua is talking about shofar. Yes, Einachanami listen to chatzotzos the rest of the year, but we know there's a difference. Chatzotzos are trumpets, and the shofar is a different, completely different type of instrument. So Gemara says, you're right, that's not a good reason. El itzrich sakadet chamina. You have to list Kohanim, not because of what we said, but for a different reason, the following reason. Sakadet chamina, I would have thought Kohanim are exempt from shofar. Why? Hold the Tanan, since the Mishnah teaches us that shava hayovel Rosh Hashanah l'tkila brachos. The Mishnah earlier in Rosh Hashanah taught us that when it came to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of Yovel, that is, then the brachos and the mitzvahs, the tkiah and the brachos are equal. Okay, so man de'isa b'mitzvahs hayovel.
What does that mean?
So that what that equal, that all the halachas are equal. So we'll see in a second. Now man de'isa l'b'mitzvahs hayovel, someone who is included in the mitzvahs of Yovel, the 50th year of the cycle. And which means that they used to blow the shofar, and then all the avadim would go back free, and all the properties would go back to the original owners. Someone who's involved in the mitzvah of Yovel, so then such a person will be isa b'mitzvah to Rosh Hashanah, will be obligated in Rosh Hashanah in listening to the shofar from Rosh Hashanah, because those two go hand in hand. Yovel and Rosh Hashanah are coupled together. However, hani kohanim hol v'lesnei b'mitzvah to Yovel, kohanim are completely removed from Yovel. Yovel does not apply to kohanim. It's not. How do we know Kohanim are not subject to halachas of Yovel? Because the Mishnah tells us, this is where in Erchin or something?
Erchin.
Kohanim v'levim mochim li'olam. They're able to sell v'golam l'olam, they're able to redeem forever. So it's a very long Rashi, all the details of how to sell and redeem within the last year, the first 2 years. A whole complicated halacha, but whatever the halachas exactly are, Kohanim are completely exempt from the halachas of Yovel. So since Kohanim are exempt from the halachas of Yovel, one might say, Eima b'mitzvahs Rosh Hashanah lo l'chayva. They shouldn't be chayva in Rosh Hashanah either. That's why they're going to be exempt. So again, just to review, the Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah that Yovel and Rosh Hashanah are equal. So since Kohanim are not subject to Yovel, they have to be equal to Rosh Hashanah. They shouldn't be chayva in Rosh Hashanah either.
It would seem from here that the only difference between Kohanim and Israel is that if they sell a house in a Beit Choma, that Ben Israel cannot go at it, and the Kohanim can go at it forever. So then that would not apply in Yovel because it's a different halacha. So therefore, that, from what I see here, that's the only difference. I don't know what Rashi says.
But there is a difference by Yovel. You're saying it's just small.
Shemachru ba'i bebeit choma, hem reshaim ligol oto leolam. Af al pi sheYisrael shemachar ba'i bebeit choma, einu reshai ligol ela betoch shana harei.
So you're saying...
Meaning that they can even be goalit even after Yovel.
Correct, right.
So that's it seems that it's the only, from what I see here, it seems that it's the only mitzvah the Kohanim don't have.
You're saying it's only a detail of Yovel. The rest of Yovel applies to them.
But one detail that doesn't.
But what else about Yovel is there that would apply to them, though, other than this halacha?
Well, I guess if they have slaves...
Is that to them or is that to the Avadim? Is that Din and the Kohen who owned it?
Uh-huh.
Happened to me. I own it.
On both sides because...
Rabbeinu Chananel says that's the Kamash one. The Kamash one is that even though this one Din doesn't apply, because the other Dinim apply, namely Hashmatas
Kasafim
and Shiluch Avadim, that's the Kamash one, why we don't exclude them from the Tkiyas.
Look at Tosos Dibur Maschil, this is exactly what you said. See Tosos, the Ban Tosos, Kamash Malon?
Yeah.
He had a different Girsa. Kamash Malon, Nihi Dilasneo Bashmatas Karka. You're right, in terms of that halacha, they're not subject to those. However, Hashmatas Ksafim, Vishulach Avadim, Miyasnayo, they are involved in those. Those mitzvahs do apply to them, so they in fact are Chayv and Yovel. And since they're Chayv and Yovel, they're also going to be Chayv in Rosh Hashanah. So part of the idea might be is that maybe the Havmita, they thought the Iker part of Yovel was about the Karka, the land. Kamash Malon, no, the Iker part of Yovel might be Avadim. The discussion in Machlokas Tanaim, which one is the Iker part of Yovel? Is it going the slaves going free? Is it the land? Is it the shofar? What exactly is the Iker part of Yovel? There are a number of things that happen. So that's part of this back and forth. Now, Tosafot ends up rejecting this Girsa, I think, but this seems to be part of this issue. Okay. Two dots. Mara says, Misha chetu eved v'chetu ben chorin ein moti los mino v'los shein amino. Person who is a slave, and then his master frees half of him, or perhaps he has two masters who take turns, and one of the masters frees him, the other master does not free him. He becomes half eved, half slave. Half eved, half free, rather. So the Gemara says he cannot be motzi anybody else who's half-half, and he can't be motzi anybody who's full eved or full free. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, ula atra motzi, but let him at least be motzi himself. That's what it sounds like. So Amalei Rav Nachman, the Rav Huna, Rav Nachman responds, Maishna lachem delo. Well, let's analyze for a moment. Why can he not be motzi other people? Delo asi tzad avdus umafik tzad cheris. So his avdus, he can't separate which part he's using to blow the shofar. Everything together comes. So while he's blowing the shofar, so part of his avdus is blowing the shofar. That avdus cannot be motzi someone who's a full free person. That's why he can be motzi others. So now, if we look at himself, le'atzmo now, nami lo asi tzad avdus didei umapik tzad cheres didei. His avdus side, as he blows the shofar for himself, is going to be motzi his cheres side as well, and that's not allowed. So even for himself, he can't be yotze. So Ella Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, therefore, af le'atzmo ini motzi. I disagree with you, Rav Huna. Even himself, he cannot be motzi.
Does he have an obligation?
So look at Rashi all the way on top.
He has an obligation, he can never be yotze, even if he listens, because maybe it's a tzad avdut that doesn't have the obligation.
I'm saying, he does not have an obligation. Here, listen, well, look at the top Rashi for a second. That's not top Rashi, three lines from the top. Avadim Meshucharim, you see that? Avadim Meshucharim, which is an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave, who was freed by his master. He's now an Efen Meshuchar now. What's the lacha? So says Rashi, but an Eved who has not been freed at all, a real full-fledged 100% Eved, Avikanani, he's not chayvin shofar. The whole mitzvah she'ein ha'isha mechayev esba, ein ha'evin chayev ba. This is the klal. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us in elsewhere, la, it says la by an isha, it says the word la by an eved, the gzer shava, anything a woman's chayvin, the eved is chayvin. Women are putter in shofar because it's mitzvah asay shezman grama. So avadim are also putter in mitzvah asay shezman gramas. So an eved is putter. So now he has half himself as putter because he's half an eved, half himself which is free is chayv, so that's the problem. And therefore he can't be motzi himself. Because a person who's not chayiv in a mitzvah like a katan can't be motzi somebody who is chayiv like a gadol. So his eved can't be motzi his ben chor inside.
No. So if he cannot put motzi his ben chor inside, even when he's sold on, so he's obligated or not obligated?
Oh, so he's not obligated. Right. He's like partially obligated. He's stuck. You know, he really is stuck. So he's in the end, he's an onus. There's nothing he could do about it. This is the situation. So you're not going to get punished. Because
well, listen to someone else.
He can listen to somebody else, yeah, right? Right, exactly.
He can't blow it for anybody. He can't blow it for himself,
right?
But even then, when you listen, he cannot be yotze because maybe it's a part of avdut that you know has no obligation.
Well, maybe.
So here,
the part that he's free is the one that's here. The part that's not Evan's free, so he's satisfied. The part that's free.
Here it says that. Well, so how come? Why is he able to be yotze on other stuff and not yashayfar? It's very interesting. So he says basically that the mitzvah tika shofar is not to be tokea shofar, but lishmoa shofar. So he's basically blowing and being moitzi himself. So once he's moitzi himself, he cannot be moitzi himself because he cannot be moitzi others. Because the act of tika shofar is a shmiya. So he's almost like a passive part of the mitzvah, even though he does it himself. Because he's supposed to, the whole mitzvah is not that he's tokeya, that he's listening to what he's tokeya. So once he listens to what he's tokeya, it's the same thing as if somebody else would be listening to what he's tokeya. Since the other people cannot be yotze from his tekiya, he cannot be yotze himself from his own tekiya.
But that still assumes that the person who's blowing, even though it might be a din and shmia, the person who's blowing still has to be chayv also.
Right, here is just explaining what's the difference between other things that he can be yoite himself. Let's say
he's like tzitzis or tefillin.
Right,
just putting on
because that when he puts on the tzitzis, he's himself doing the mitzvah. When he's blowing the shofar, he's not doing it. Only once the sound comes to his ears, he's yoite.
Meaning tzitzis, I'm not being motzi myself. The actual wearing is the mitzvah.
Right.
Here are the two steps. There's a being motzi and then being yoite. So there's like a circle, so he can be motzi himself.
Right.
Okay, now the Gemara quotes a brisa to support this idea about Tanya Nami Hachi, two lines from the bottom, that Misha Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin Af La'atma in a Yot Moti, he can't be Moti himself. His Tzad Avdus is working with his Tzad Chayrus, and that becomes complicated. Tani Ava Breder Bezera, this is Bezera's son's name was Ava. Kol HaBrachos Kulan Afa Pish Yotze Moti. He says all the brachos in the world, that even though I might have been yotze the mitzvah already, I can be motzi another person. So Rashi explains, this is all the way towards the bottom now, we're all together, we're all partners here, so even though I've been yotze, I can be motzi. So that's come to shofar blowing. So let's say the men heard the shofar, he's yotze the shofar, and later women come, so he's allowed to say the bracha for the woman. Even though he's yotze already, he can be motzi the woman with the bracha, and then blow the shofar. That's what this tells us. Chutz, there's exception, Mibirchas Alecha, Mibirchas Ayayim, that these two situations, these two brachas, Shim Lo Yatza Moti, if he wasn't Yotzi, he can be Moti's wife in the guffin, he can be Moti's wife in bread. However, if he already was Yotze, then Eino Moti, he cannot recite a bracha again. So it explains Rashi in the bottom here, why Birchas Alecha Hayayim, Ushar Birchas Peros Verechani, other brachas on fruits or smell, any Birchas Hananin. I'm not chayiv. Arvus only applies when I'm chayiv, that we're all chayiv. Let's say, forget woman for a second. Let's say another man who didn't hear the shofar. He's chayiv to hear the shofar. He's chayiv to hear the Megillah. So I can, through Arvus, I could represent him and say the bracha. But when there's no obligation, I don't have to eat this fruit. I don't have to eat any of the food here. But if I want to, I can't eat it without saying a bracha. There, Arvus doesn't apply. Arvus only applies on the level of chiyuv, not on the level of rishus. Ubezu, finishing Rashi, Ubezu ain't kan arvis, sheina chova al ha'adam, lo lisane v'lo levarach. There's no obligation to get hana, there's no obligation to make a bracha. Arvis is a complicated topic. Yeah.
So if he's doing Kiddush and he doesn't have to be yotze himself, so the person who listens is yotze but has to make his own bracha on yain, or either because
or
because the whole halacha of kolos aron zilaze we learn from Kiddush, that even somebody already did Kiddush, he can be motzi, right?
Right.
That's what we learn. But what it seems from here is that if somebody's motzi you from Kiddush, I thought you didn't have to make the bracha of the yain.
Right, so this isn't talking about Kiddush, you're talking about just stam birchas gefen.
Right.
So during Kiddush, though, yatza can be motzi, because birchas gefen in that context of Kiddush becomes birchas mitzvah.
So is motzi both, the chiyuv of Kiddush and the chiyuv of bracha?
Right.
Or you should say the bracha.
You say both then for the person. You say the bracha also.
So the person,
gefen.
When he listens, he should not say the bracha.
Correct. Right. Again, it's very complicated. There's a lot of discussion in the Achronim, which brachas, how this works. But this is an important halacha. Then the Gemara asks, "Boy, Rava asks the following question." Oh, okay. By Rava asks, "Birchas alechem shel matzah when there's a mitzvah involved, or birchas yain shel kiddush hayom mahu? What's halacha when it comes to that? Do we say kevin dechovahu mapik? Since it's obligation, we all have to have matzah the first night. We all have to have kiddush, and therefore I can be motzi. Oh, dilma bracha lav chovi, or do we say the bracha is not a chova? The mitzvah might be a chovah, but not the bracha. Let's see Rashi how he explains this. Rashi says, let's take it from the top. We'll go through all the Rashis on this. Birchas alechem shel achilas matzah shemevarchin hamotzi. That bracha on matzah. Ubirchas hayayin shemevarchin lifnei kiddush. Mahu al achilas matzah mekadosh Yisrael lo tibarecha. When it came to the bracha of al achilas matzah, which is a birchas mitzvah, that wasn't the question. And when it came to the bracha of mekadosh Yisrael, that wasn't a question because those are birchas mitzvahs. The chovah ninhu mafik. Ella, what's the question? The birchas hamotzi. This is what your question was, I think, Ricky. Yeah, ella birchas hamotzi ubirchas yai mibaylan. The birchas nenin that are included in these brachas, because on matzah we say two brachas. We say amotzi lechem in art, and we say alchilas matzah. Alchilas matzah is a birchas mitzvah. That's a chiyuv. That's not a question. You can be. What about hamotzi lechem in art? That's the nenin, the birchas nenin. That was a shaila. So, do we say she'ein bals elul fisha mivarch tzach shi'itom? We only say those brachas because the person who says the bracha has to taste. And once I have to taste, v'yef shar lehenos b'lo bracha, I cannot taste the bread, I can't taste the matzah, I can't drink the wine without saying a bracha. Inami, lo time, ihu, yef shar, de lo yav le lecha minayo, limitem b'oi bracha. Now, even though he doesn't want to taste it, he can't give it to somebody else, so, how do we read that last line? He has to give it to somebody else to make the bracha. Somebody has to taste the bread, the matzah, somebody has to taste the wine. So it's not really a chiv in terms of the mitzvah, it's really just because you have to taste the food. So do we say, Rashi explains further, kevin de chova hui, achilas matzah chova olav, v'chein kiddush hayom chova olav, these things are obligations on us. V'yaf sharf below shiblo hana, you can't get the mitzvah without actually getting hana. See, even though hana itself is an obligation, but you have to do it anyways to get the mitzvah. So do we say hana, yaf sharf below bracha, nimtet ha-mitzvah metulia b'birchas naha o'mafik. Therefore, even though there are two brachas here, the birchas mitzvah makes the birchas nenen into an obligation. So therefore, maybe this type of birchas nenen, I can be motzi others, it's viewed as a chiv. O Dilma says Rashi, birchas hana, lav chova l'mitzvah asya, sh'af b'chol hana, s'hi ho'neges. It's not a birchas mitzvah, it's not a chiv. The question is, as Ricky asked, the birchas nenen that's said in the context of these mitzvahs, does it take on the din of a chova, or it still remains a rishus? And nafkmina, can you be motzi if you already were yatza? Says the Gemara, attempts to bring a raya. Tashma, d'amar Rav Ashi, ki avinam beira papi, when I was in the house of a papi, have a mikadish lan, he made the kiddush on our behalf. V'chi hava asi arise midavra, when arisa, I guess one of his workers, came from the field. Have Makadish Lo, he'd make a kiddush a second time for that worker of his. So we see that he did make kiddush twice, and seemingly we're talking about a case where he repeated the Bari Paragafen as well.
Exactly.
That's how we follow. You make kiddush in shul, and you come home and make kiddush a second time for your wife. Or the rabbi in many shuls will go around from house to house to someone who doesn't have a husband around to make kiddush for them multiple times. That's all permitted. Last brisa, this parak, Tanur Rabbanon, lo yifros adam prusal orchin, person cannot cut up the bread to give to his guests, elim kein ochel imam, unless he's eating with them. So Rashi explains, the last Rashi on the perek, lo yifros birchas emoti, can't say the bracha, kedamin al el, sheinu b'chov alem, lo yochel, lo yivarchum. If I'm not eating with you guys, I'm just, you know, you're at my house, I want to feed you guys, I can't cut the bread into hamotzi and not eat and just give to you to eat. That doesn't work. That seems to be pretty obvious what we said before. Then says the Gemara, aval, what a person can do is, poresu levanov ulevnei beso. I can say bracha for my children who don't know how to say brachas yet. I can say hamotzi. I'm not eating. I could say the actual bracha for them, kidei lechancha mitzvos, in order to train them in the performance of mitzvos. Fine. So that halacha is an interesting halacha. If I say Shema Hashem, it's an Isser Deraiso. If it's an Isser Lo Sisa, Shema Hashem Elokech, I can't say Hashem's name in vain. I can't just say a bracha without eating something, without doing something. How is that permitted? So according to Shitas Tosos, who writes in several places, Tosos thinks that bracha vatala is only an Isser Derabanan, so the mitzvah of Chinuch is able to override the Isser Derabanan of bracha vatala.
So it's a say chinuch. Chinuch is not levatala. It's a purpose.
Interesting. Who says that?
Perushim.
They quote who? I wonder.
ולשיטת הראשונים שיסרו חלב התאום מן התורה, עיין מגן אברהם, אור החיים, מכל מקום מותר לברך משום חינוך, שהואיל מברך לצורך משום חינוך, זה נקרא לבטלה.
אוקיי.
חקרי לב יורד דעה, קוף, ממה, ואין ארוך לנר,
Okay, it's interesting. So if you think it's derabanan, let's say, then it's very easy to get around there because chinuch is derabanan, and this is only isser derabanan. So hey mamru, chacham are able to say you could violate the isser derabanan that they created to help the chinuch derabanan. But if you assume he passed this way, right? But if you say like the Rambam that brach lo tala is an isser deraisa, how could the chacham say forget the isser deraisa and just to do chinuch? Chinuch is only derabanan, according to almost all shittas. There is a nitziv in the beginning of Chagig, which seems to say that might be deraisa based on the Rambam. But Pashas says chinuch is only derabanan. How could derabanan override the isa deraisa? So two answers are given now. One is you said from the footnote from the Aruch Lener. Apparently he says that this is not bracha levatala. This is a purpose. So it's similar to the case of Baal Tashchis. Baal Tashchis, you can't just now knock down a fruit tree. That's isa deraisa. Baal Tashchis of cutting down a fruit tree. But if you're cutting it down for a purpose, let's say to build the sukkah. Or something like that. That's not tashkas. That is a function. So this is not brachal vatala, as you're saying. Brachal vatala is when it's for no reason. But this is for the reason of chinuch. So that's a built-in heter for saying such a bracha. The other answer that I saw was that even when you're mekayim mitzvah derabanan, there's a kiyum deraisa of lo sasser. That's a big discussion. The pasuk says lo sasser. You can't turn away from what the rabbis tell us. So anything that rabbis say and that we do, you're mekayim the mitzvah of lo sasser. So even Chachamim has the din of deraisa, so the din of lo sasser was able to override the din deraisa of being mevatel, saying bracha levatala. Now there's a shaila. The Beis Yosef has the following suffix. Let's say I'm in my house, and my kids have some friends over. So I could say a bracha for my son, and he could eat the food. But could I say a bracha for my friend, my son's friend, to eat? The chinuch isn't me. I don't have an obligation. So Darchi Moshe says that one may say bracha even for other kids, and the Mishnah Berurah, I believe, brings this down in halacha. You can say bracha even for someone who's not your kid. I forget exactly what he says because chinuch is on everybody. I don't remember exactly how he explains this, but it is a halacha. Now, I've never actually done this. It's like a strange thing to like just say bracha in a vacuum and have your son eat it, but it is the halacha, and that's part of chinuch.
But we do that in Abdullah and Shul, no? I mean,
sometimes we do say, that's an interesting question, we do it. Is that for chinuch? That was.
That's not for chinuch.
Is that for chinuch, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's not bracha vatala, right? So I guess in the end, you're right. You're saying a bracha there, but that might be the situation of a guffin. That's a guffin in kiddush. Mm-hmm. This time we're just an isolated birchas enenin. Now, just one point just comes up. It's very. Oh wow, it's late. Okay, I won't say that point then. Okay, let's go. Says the Gemara Hillel. Sorry, Hallel. Uvahalo uvamegila afa pisha yatsa motu. So it comes to Halal Megillah, even though I've been Yotze, I can still be Motzi others. This happens all the time. A person heard Megillah, he recited Megillah, and he repeated it, went to someone who's sick or a woman who couldn't hear it. And you can recite it several times over to be Motzi others. Hadron Allah, Re'ua Bezdin. Okay, we're setting 6 spot left. Mashallah. Says the new Mishnah, the new parak, Yom Tov Shir Rosh Hashanah, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah falls out in Shabbos. What's the halacha? B'mikdash hayu token. The base of Mikdash, they'd still blow the shofar. Aval lo b'medina, but not in Medina, anywhere outside the base of Mikdash. Now, these are machlokes you're showing them here, how you define Mikdash and how do you define Gvulim. Rashi says Mikdash means actual base of Mikdash. You could blow, but nowhere outside that on Shabbos. Says the Rambam in Perish Mishnayos, no, base of Mikdash really means the entire Yerushalayim, you're allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos. That's a big machlokes you're showing them. Comes up here, and made by Lulav also comes up. Says the Gemara, Mishnah rather, Bishachar Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai, one of the many takanas that he made was that Shayihu token b'chol makom sheyesh bo bezdin. He said, anywhere that has a basin now after the destruction should blow the shofar. Even during the Beis HaMikdash, only Beis HaMikdash itself. Afterwards, every place that has a basin was allowed to. Then Amar Belazar, Lo Hiskin Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai ela biyavna bilad. He didn't make it, that's not true. Inaccurate record of the Takana. The Takana only existed in Yavne. Yavne was the only place that was allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos. Why? Says Rashi, Elas B'Yavne. Sheha Yisah Sham Sanhedra Gedola B'Yamav. That's where the Sanhedrin Gedola went. I think Rosh Hashanah tells us that the Sanhedrin got exiled to many different locations. One of the locations was Yavne. V'chein v'chol makum shegal sa Sanhedrin. Not only Yavne, but any place where the Sanhedrin was exiled to. But let's say you had a place that had a basin of 23, a basin that had the ability to implement capital punishment, that wasn't enough. Dafk in a place that had the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So Amru Lo, so they respond back to Rebbe Lazar, no, you're wrong. Echad Yavna v'echad kol makom shesh b'bezin. It wasn't only Yavna. Is any place that had a basin Shel Chav Gimel had the right, according to Yochanan ben Zakkai, to blow the shofar on Shabbos. V'od, furthermore, Zos Haisa Yushlaim Yisrael al Yavna. Yushlaim had an extra din that didn't exist by Yavna, meaning Shekol Ir Shehiroa V'Shamas V'Krova V'Yichol Lavo Token. When it came to Yushlaim, any city that was able to see Yushlaim, maybe Yushlaim was able to see it, right, that the city could see Yushlaim, or the city could hear Yushlaim, or they're close enough and they could walk. These cities, all the outskirts of Yerushalayim, were included in the heter of blowing the shofar on Shabbos. However, when it came to Uviyavne, lo hayu token el b'basin b'vad, the only place was in the actual basin. The rest of the city, and Kal v'chomer, all the cities around it, those cities were not allowed to blow the shofar.
This seems to hold not like the Rambam, right? Because the Rambam holds that, on the contrary, not like the Chachamim. This seems to be that all Yerushalayim is included in
exactly. This is the Raya. Exactly. So what they say is that, no, there's a difference. This is for the Raya for Rambam. For Rashi and others,
Rambam, yeah.
Hey, no. During the times of Beis HaMikdash, it was only Beis HaMikdash. After the Churban, then they allowed all Yerushalayim. There's a distinction. Okay. But Kasha, why did it change over?
Right.
But that's a very good point. That's exactly the Raya they say. Says the Gemara, Minohani Mili, how do we know the halachas of blowing the shofar in Shabbos or not blowing the shofar in Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Levi bar Lachma, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, Kasev Echad, one pasuk tells us, Omer, Shabbason Zichron Shua, Shabbason is referring to Rosh Hashanah, should be a day of remembrance. The Kasev Echad, one other pasuk tells us, Omer, Yom Chua Yelachem, it's supposed to be day of shofar. So the first one sounds like it's a day of remembering, but no action. And the second pasuk sounds like you're actually doing something, blowing the shofar. Says the Gemara, Lo kasha kam b'yom tov shechal yos b'shabbos kam b'yom tov shechal yos b'chol. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then it's a day of Shabbos on Zichron Shua. You remember the Shua, but you don't actually do the Shua. There's no shofar. And the other pasuk says, is referring to during the week, where you are allowed to blow the shofar. So that's the reason why this pasuk tells me that you can or cannot blow the shofar on Shabbos. Again, on Shabbos you cannot, the rest of the week you can. So the Gemara has a problem with this. Amar Rava, ima deraisahi, if it's true that on a deraisa level there's an iser to blow the shofar on Shabbos, then the afilu b'mikdash heichatakin, how are we able to blow the shofar in the base of Mikdash? Again, the pasuk we're saying that right now, zichron shua, means you remember the shua, but you don't blow it. That's referring to shofar on Shabbos. You can't blow the shofar. So why did they allow you to blow the shofar in the base of Mikdash? The ode. Halav lachahi. Furthermore, blowing the shofar is not a malacha. It's tzirich kra l'mute. There's no malacha in shofar. What's a malacha of shofar? If you look through the 39 malachas, there's no malacha involved at all. So why does a pasuk have to tell me that, oh, don't, you can't do this on shofar and Shabbos? There's no malacha involved. Why not? Why can't I do this? The Tanya, that the Braisa tells us, the Beis Shmuel, kol malachos avoda lo sasu, that all actions, all malachos, 39 malachas, may not be done on Yontif. However, yatsa tkiya shofar, v'rdiyas apas, shi chachma v'einu malacha. Blowing the shofar is not a malacha, it's a chachma, it's a skill. So to Rudiyas HaPas, they used to have these ovens where they would plaster the dough up against the wall of the oven. They have to be able to scrape it down. That was a skill. Those things are not malachos. Those are skills. Those skills are also midirabanan, but midiraisa, they're 100% okay. So you don't need a pasuk to tell me that that's not okay. What's wrong with those? So the Gemara is going to give a different answer as to why shofar may not be done on Shabbos.
So Rudiyas HaPas, it's on Shabbos. If you put it there on Shabbos, you're allowed to take it out?
Rudiyas HaPas, no, there's an Issa Derban, there's a Gemara in Shabbos in the first pack, remember. Issa Derban to take it. So let's say...
Is this talking only Midaraisa?
No, Rudiyas HaPas is only an Issa Derban to take down.
Right, so Midaraisa is
permitted, exactly. So that's what the Gemara talks about, this case, in the first pack of Shabbos. Let's say Reuven places this stuff on his oven.
I remember, yeah.
So it's an Issa Derisa. If Reuven lets it sit, it becomes a fia, and it's a skila. I'm his neighbor. Say, wait a second. If it just sits there and bakes, he's going to violate the Issa Deraisa of Afia.
Right.
But for me, it's Rudiyas HaPas, it's an Issa Derbanan. Can I violate an Issa Derbanan? Should I violate an Issa Derbanan to help my friend from violating Issa Deraisa? That's the Gemara's discussion there. But Rudiyas HaPas itself is only an Issa Derbanan. Now, the Yerushalmi, actually, the Ramban here in Rosh Hashanah, remember Rodenzweig, he gave a drush in Rosh Hashanah. He used to always quote this Ramban in Yerushalmi. I forget how he developed it. But the Yerushalmi says, no, in the end of the day, the reason why they called this pasuk of maskana, that Zichron Shua, Shabbos on Zichron Shua, is actually a din deraisa, that there is an iser deraisa to blow the shofar on Shabbos. While the Bavli rejects this, said, no, if it's usher to blow the shofar on Shabbos based on the pasuk, so it should be usher even the base of Mikdash. The Yerushalmi maintains this lahalach. I don't remember how they addressed it, why it's permitted in the base of Mikdash, but the Yerushalmi does have a different way to learn the Gemara. Speaking of Yerushalmi, it's next year's Shvius. Kedai start learning, getting ready for Shvius in a few months to prepare for it. Just throwing it out there. Okay, so the Gemara says that Ella Amar Rava. Rava says, what's the reason why you may not blow the shofar on Shabbos? So Amar Rava, Midiraisa, Mishishara, you're right. On a Deraisa level, it's okay to blow the shofar. There's nothing wrong. There's no malacha. However, Rabbanan Hu de Gazer Bey, the Chum made a gzera to not blow the shofar, Kidiraba, famous Rabba, the Amar Rabba, Hakol Chayavim B'Tkiyah Shofar, everyone is obligated in blowing the shofar, however, Ein Hakol B'Kiyim B'Tkiyah Shofar, not everybody's able to blow the shofar. It's not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of skill to get your mouth and lips properly and to get all the different sounds and get the old timing right, and 100 blasts in sets, well, even though the rest of you don't need that, it becomes very, very difficult. So since not everyone's a baki and blowing the shofar, gzeira shema yit lenu biado v'yelich etel baki lilmod v'yavienu dal amos rishis rabim. The concern is that I'm going to take my shofar and go to my expert neighbor who knows how to blow the shofar, teach me how to blow the shofar so I can go back home and blow it for my family. I'm going to walk outside where there's no eruv, carry the shofar without an eruv dal amos, violate an Issa Deraisa, because of that concern, he said, don't blow the shofar, just leave it at home, and there's no mitzvah at all, and then Yantif Sheni, you'll be able to do that. And this is the very same reason why, Hainu Taima de Lulav, Hainu Taima de Megillah, this is the same reason why we don't carry the Lulav on Shabbos, the same reason why we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, because we're concerned that someone's not going to know how to do it, he's going to walk it over to his Bucky neighbor, teach him how, and end up carrying outside the Erev on Shabbos.
So we're not worried that the person who actually has to be motzei the people is going to carry. I always thought that was the issur.
No. This person who doesn't know, he's going to try to learn the skill on Shabbos. Wait a second. Tej Rosh Hashanah. I don't have to blow the shofar. What's my wife going
to
do?
I thought the whole issur was for the person who has to be motzei that he forgot to take it and he would.
Right. It's for the guy who needs to go learn. Okay. Says the Gemara further now, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai V'chulim. So they made, after destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan made a takana that every Beis Din, Machlok is exactly what it was, but that there are certain places that should still be able to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Tana Rabbanan, very interesting Braisa now. The Braisa teaches us that Pam Achas Chal Rosh Hashanah Lios B'Shabbos. One time, the Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, and Vayu Kol Ha'arim Wisconsin, all the cities gathered together. So Amar Lei Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Livnei Bezera, he said to the children of Bezera that Niska, that we should blow the shofar. Amar Lo Nidon, should we like maybe we should talk about this first and like get to a psaka? Amar Lei Niska V'Chakach Nidon. First, let's just blow the shofar. Then we'll deal with it afterwards. Everyone's here together. They're waiting to hear the shofar. They came. Let's blow the shofar first, and then we'll make a decision. So Acha Shetiku, after they blew the shofar. Amlo Nidon. So let's we blew the shofar. Everyone's happy. Now let's go upstairs to the office and have a discussion. Should this really be the psak moving forward? So Amar Lehem Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says to them, Kfar Nishma Karen Biavna Vein Mashivin LaAchem Ma'isa. The Karen, the shofar, already was heard and blasted in Yavna. So we can't say now if we say it's usher to do this, we moti lies in what we did in Yavna. Yavna, the Chashuv city, the basin, they blew the shofar. It must be mutter. That's it. Case closed. It's mutter. So Yochanan Zakkai tricked them basically into allowing the shofar to be blown on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. The last few lines of the Amud says the Gemara Amar Rabbi Elazar Lo Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Ela B'Yavna Bilad. Elazar argued and said it's not true. It wasn't in every single basin. It was specifically in Yavna that was permitted to blow the shofar on Shabbos. And to that they responded Amru Lo Echad Yavna B'Echad. He says, no, any place like Yavna that had a Bezdin was permitted to blow the shofar on Shabbos. So Amru Lo, Hainu Tanakama. Isn't that the same thing that Tanakama said? Let's review. Tanakama says that Rabbi Yochanan said every single basin had a blowing the shofar on Shabbos. And then Rabbi Elazar said, only in Yavna. And then the Mishnah responds, every place that had a Bezdin. The Tanakama and this third opinion seem to be saying the same exact thing. Says the Gemara, there is a nafkamina between the Tanakama and this third opinion. Beidina da'akrai, says Rashi, the last line. Beidina da'akrai, the Tanakama takinin. According to that first opinion, they would blow the shofar even if it was a temporary bezdin. However, Tana da'amulo, savar echad yavna echad kolmakum sheish bo bezdin kavua dumid yavna. The last opinion of the Mishnah says it has to be a place that has a basin kavua, an established bezdin. Only such a place would be allowed to blow the shofar. So there are three opinions. Either any place that has a bezdin, even a temporary bezdin, or only yavna, or any place that has a permanent bezdin. Those are three opinions we have in the Mishnah. Okay, everyone have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.